Stay safe on the roads with Rain-X Vision Beam Wiper Blades. Now at Menards. For over 40 years, Rain-X has provided drivers with products to outsmart the elements. Their Vision Beam Wiper Blades are easy to install and are designed to provide a smooth, streak-free wipe every time. Save big money on all Rain-X products now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big money on all your electrical needs at Menards. From wire, tools, testers, and more, Southwire is the perfect choice for your next electrical project. They offer innovative products to help you get your project done right. Hurry in today and save big on all Southwire products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the pitch, the players, the hustlers, the broadcasters, the people, the bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. It's the Wicked Wednesday edition of the program. Let's do this thing. So we've got a lot of stuff to get to. College football is back. We've got a full slate of games on Thursday night. We've got games Friday night. We've got games Saturday. We've got games Sunday. And hey, we even got a college football game on Monday. Bill Belichick's debut. We've got CFL football on Monday as well. So, you know, the football season has, you know, sort of the college football season sort of officially started with week zero, but it really starts this week on Thursday night. So we'll focus in on the college football. Countdown to NFL football is on as well. We're now just 8 days away from the start of the National Football League regular season. And we've got a couple other things to get to. You know, one thing that's blown my mind that happened over the weekend is the Quentin Rampage Jackson son, Roger Jackson, that nearly murdered a professional wrestler in a wrestling match gone wrong. So Roger Jackson was wrestling in an independent wrestling company in Los Angeles. I don't know why. It was a bad idea. But nevertheless, he was. The dude that he was wrestling hit him in the head with a beer can before the match to try to, you know, to sell it, to get it going. Roger Jackson took it personal, told people that he's going to kill the guy in the ring and it won't be a wrestling match. And he actually did. So I'm just amazed, you know, and he punched him 22 times, guys. So he was unconscious already. So he hit him 22 times. If the other wrestlers didn't intervene, Roger Jackson probably would have literally murdered the dude, like literally in fear, like he would have killed him. The guy's in critical condition as it is right now. Yet what it's been, you know, I don't know, 5 days, 4 or 5 days or whatnot. And Roger Jackson's doing videos blaming the cameraman for filming it. So like there's like no remorse or anything like that, but I'm just amazed that he hasn't been arrested. Like just point blank. Like, I don't know if the district attorney in Los Angeles knows it's a high profile case and, you know, they got to get it right. They want to make sure, you know, they get the charges right. And it is kind of unique, right? It's almost like it's almost like a hockey fight in which, you know, if you're a hockey player and you hit someone over the head with a stick in a hockey game, it kind of is assault. You're not supposed to do it, but you also are sort of protected, or you feel like you're protected, right? Like athletes feel like they're protected during these games of like being able, you know, of getting away with something violent in the context of the sport that they're playing. And it's rare that you see arrests. I mean, many, many years ago, this is a long time ago, I guess probably like 40 years ago, 35, 40 years ago, in Toronto, Dino Cicerelli attacked someone on the ice. He got arrested after the game, and it's tough to make it stick. There's not a lot of precedent for this. So wrestling, same thing. You could say, well, you know, it was a wrestling match and it went wrong. And, you know, that's not a criminal, right? And you're going to start charging every wrestler. Hell, the Undertaker used to hit people hard if like to teach them a lesson if they upset Vince, right? Like he was the policeman, so to speak. He was the enforcer for the locker room. you know, you're going to arrest him because he body slammed someone too hard. But this wasn't that. This was just a full out assault. Like, this wasn't wrestling. This was just, yeah, I'm going to assault the guy. And like I said, I'm just amazed that he hasn't been charged yet. The fact that he's so unremorseful about it, too. Like, if it was just like, listen, he got carried away, he got pissed off, he punched the guy he shouldn't have, it'd be like, all right, fine, just keep him out of a wrestling ring. But it's like sort of like saying, yeah, you know, you ran someone over accidentally, or stopping your car, backing up, and going over them 22 times. Like, and then saying, well, you know, it was an accident. Well, no, well, you know, you ran over the body 22 times, sir. It's like, yeah, but no, there's no yeah, but. It's not like, oh, I hit him and I didn't see him. It's like, no, you ran over him 22 times. You were trying to kill him, right? So the fact that he hasn't been arrested, when in today's day and age you see in the news people are getting arrested for everything, is beyond me. And so that was just one story that's blown my mind. And another thing in wrestling that I actually find to be amusing, and I say this as someone that loves Ozzy Osbourne, but there's a big controversy, and good on Becky Lynch, because let's be real, the WWE was boring as hell, right? It's so corporate. It's just so whatever. It's just, it sucks. It's boring. And they think they're edgy and they think they're cool and stuff, but they're not. They're lame. So Becky actually went old school wrestling heel. They were in Birmingham, England, a couple of days ago. Of course, birthplace of Ozzy Osbourne and a lot of other heavy metal bands, for the record. And of course, you know, that's, they just had the show back to the beginning and Ozzy just died. So they're in Birmingham, England, and Becky Lynch is talking about a big pay-per-view that's coming up called The Clash. And she goes, you can have your match, but in Paris at Clash, because I'm not wrestling in Birmingham. The only good thing that ever came out of here died a month ago. But in the fairness to Ozzy Osbourne, he had the good sense to move to L.A., a proper city. Because if I lived in Birmingham, I would die too, said Becky Lynch to the Birmingham faithful. Crowd obviously gets very, very upset about it. And, you know, okay, some wrestling heat. Kelly Osbourne, Ozzy's daughter, says, you are a disrespectful dirtbag. Birmingham would not piss on you if you were on fire. Shame on the WWE for allowing such things to be said about my father and his home. And wrestling websites are reporting that the WWE is upset at Becky for saying this, that they like Ozzy, they're friends with Sharon, and they don't want to do a public apology because, you know, they're going to look weak. But, you know, behind the scenes, they're very upset. And like I said, you're not going to find anyone who loves Ozzy as much as I do, but she said Ozzy was good, right? She said the only good thing that came from here is Ozzy. So if you're Kelly Osbourne, shut up. You're the one that was on The View that was saying that, you know, Mexicans are good for cleaning your toilet. So I would settle down, Kelly, as far as like playing the moral high road here. I get it. Your father died. It sucks. You know, I mean, your father's also a public figure, and there's going to be a time, right? It's not like too soon for the joke type thing, but it's been a month, and Becky didn't say Ozzy sucked. She said Birmingham sucked. And I got to be honest, as someone that loves Ozzy, Becky should have taken it a step further and said Ozzy was terrible. She should have said Ozzy sucked, his music sucked, your town sucked. She should have went like full heel, right? And then you would have had a reason to cry. But the fact that people get so upset, right? It was like when McAfee said Canada is a horrible country. You know, do I think that Pat McAfee likes Canada? I don't know. I don't think he's a big Canadian fan. I think he did get upset that the national anthem got booed in Toronto. I would venture, what the hell are you playing the American National Anthem? What do you even play the National Anthem at wrestling events for? It's wrestling. When I went to see wrestling as a kid, they didn't play the National Anthem before Greg the Hammer Valentine came out and hit someone in the face. Like, you know, like this whole, oh, we're like the Super Bowl. It's stupid in the first place, but people are like got all mad at McAfee. And it's like, yeah, okay, I get it. You're upset. He said Canada is a horrible country while he was in Toronto. He also said it on a wrestling broadcast. You want to start getting upset about everything Jerry the King Lawler said? You don't want to get started getting upset about everything that Jesse Ventura is sad about? And I bring this up because yesterday I posted a video of who was probably the best ever, like really one of the best ever at legitimately pissing people off. And it was Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. Like, he was, like, really, really, like, good at it. And I couldn't help, like, he's, like, he's in Sacramento. You Sacramento scumbags. And then, like, he gets into, like, and Steiner would know the sports teams and, like, the real, though, but not just, he would know for real. Like, he went into St. Louis and he started calling Mark McGwire a cheater and a steroid user. The funniest thing is, like, Steiner's jacked and juiced. He's out there calling. He's calling McGwire a cheater and stuff. There was a near riot that night when he did that. Like, I miss those days where wrestlers would. Like, I've heard stories. You hear wrestlers from the old days that would tell stories about, man, like, yeah, like, they were waiting for me outside of MSG. And, like, they tried to run me off the road. And, you know, they smashed my car up because of what I said. And they would, you know, they would get a chuckle out of it because they're like, man, I did my job well. I really upset these fans. So, like, these, you know, basically it's fake, people. It's all fake, right? So you need to understand this. And last thing with this, because we were talking about this a lot online yesterday, and then, like, the whole Montreal screw job thing came up, which I believe to be fake as well. You know, for years I didn't think it was, but I was just an idiot. Right. That was fake, guys. The Bret Hart, Bret Michaels, the Montreal screw job. It was a setup. And I think it was the greatest setup and con job in the history of wrestling. They'll take it to their graves. Maybe it's sort of like the, you know, like Deep Throat and stuff. When, you know, Bret Hart's on his deathbed or something, he might. I don't know if Bret will do it. Like, Bret might take it to his grave. Somebody, you know, Earl Hebner, the referee, somebody will drop it on their deathbed. Because, you know, there's also non-disclosure agreement stuff. You know, Vince is making you sign crazy things like this to keep secrets, right? So I think the Montreal screw job was a work. So, like, basically everything is a work. That's my point. Everything is a work. And I had a lot of people tweeting me yesterday telling me, oh, it was real and read the book and blah, blah. Listen, I was there. I was there live. And, yeah, it looked real good. And I did all this, but let me just put it this way for people. Do you think that everything in professional wrestling has been fake for the last 200 years? But that one incident in Montreal that night was real. That happened to have a documentary crew filming and following Bret Hart. And Vince McMahon never once ever said, turn those effing cameras off. Despite the fact that he's a dictator and he could have done whatever he wanted on those days. Like, it was a work, guys. Like, people, oh, Bret would never be in on it. I love Bret Hart, but whatever. Bret Hart's brother died. Bret Hart still has gone back to WWE after. So all these wrestlers are soulless. Like, everything's a work for them. They don't care. Like, people could die and whatever. It's like, yeah, it sucks he's dead, but, you know, I got a character to play. I got my image. That's just the way it is, right? So I believe that it was a work. But as far as the Becky Lynch is concerned, like I said, she said Aussie's the only good thing to come out of here. Like I said, if you really want to get pissed off, like, she actually copped out. She should have said Aussie. So, you know what she should have said? See, my mind's going. We can bring in Cam and Babano here. Cam, my mind's going now. She should have said the best Black Sabbath records were with Ronnie James
Dio. Yeah, your boy.
That would have been good. Like, you know what I mean? That would have been like, holy, like, yeah, like, she's coming. Like, she knows. Like, she knows how to push the buttons. Yeah. So her saying that the only... Like, I don't see how Kelly Osbourne's upset. Like, she said, you're right, the only good thing out of here is Ozzy Osbourne. The city sucks. Like, it's wrestling, Kelly. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I don't want to come at Kelly Osbourne. Her father just died, but I've always found her to be super annoying.
Agreed. I couldn't agree more. Gabe, great opener. And by the way, Gabe, Scott Steiner is one of the craziest MFers that ever walked the face of the earth. Remember his thing with Kimberly Page, like stalking women and stuff. You know what the best is? He went to the University of Michigan too, buddy. He's your guy, the Steiners.
A big legend of Michigan.
Yeah, exactly.
Big wrestling legend.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He had a good line. He told someone on. I played the video. It was like 18 minutes yesterday of Steiner's one-liners, and he said, "I could shave my ass and walk backwards and be hotter than your girlfriend."
Save big money on all your electrical needs at Menards. From wire, tools, testers, and more, Southwire is the perfect choice for your next electrical project. They offer innovative products to help you get your project done right. Hurry in today and save big on all Southwire products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. While everyone's talking about AI replacing people, smart companies know the real opportunity is using AI to make their people better. Lattice is the HR platform where people and AI succeed together, helping every employee grow, every manager lead, and every company achieve greater success. Let's build a people-powered future. No regrets. Visit lattice.com/no regrets. That's lattice.com/no regrets.
Like he had the crudeness of his lines between, and like the thing with him, like you would actually believe it too. Like it was almost like, I think he kind of means it actually. Like he would tell everyone in the crowd, I'm better than you. Your girlfriend wants to bang me. I could beat you up in real life if I wanted to. And if you don't like it, come up here and do, like, he was one of those old school wrestlers. Anyone in the arena want a piece of me? Come up here and get some. Like, and I think he actually like would have wanted it to be legal for people to come in, so he just could start cracking heads. Like the guy, you know, he's insane. He's insane. It's funny. He's in the real estate industry. Like, imagine telling you don't want the property. Like, you go to an open house. Yeah, sorry, Mr. Steiner, I'm not interested.
So, I like your percentage, Scott. He's like,
you
know, what?
Like, you almost owe me money. Clients, Cap. You'd be like, I don't know, I better buy this house from him.
You still owe me some money there, pal.
Did you say that's 2% financing? I told you it's 7. I said 7, you dumbass scumbag. 7%.
He puts you through the granite table. No, the Steiner's nuts. I miss those guys.
The other Steiner's like a high school principal or something like that. Yeah. Like, so wrestlers, you know, you never know what wrestlers are going to turn into. But rest in peace, Ozzy. And I don't know. I think Becky Lynch is kind of lame, too, to be honest. I think they're all kind of lame. But good job by Becky. You got, you know, it's funny. You got attention. And I'm going to tell you something, too. So his last thing about this, according to Brian Alvarez of 4wonline.com. Well, that's, you know, that's just credible. 60 minutes. The hell is that? 4W, four.
It's made up.
4W online. So whatever. This Alvarez guy, whatever. He's a wrestling reporter. He's been around again. But all the WWE is totally embarrassed and they're going to do this and that. I promise you the WWE does not give a crap. You really think that Triple H is distraught? These people, like, they had a... they had sex with a dead body on the air. Like, Triple H, like, drugged Stephanie McMahon and brought her to Vegas. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in their script. Like, you think? Like, Becky Lynch did her job. People are talking about this. I'm talking. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she did, like, she hit it out of the park big time. So, I don't believe any of that crap that they're embarrassed or any of that. Like, that's just sort of, like, lip service. That they want people to think that, when in reality, they're happy. They're like, good job, Becky. You got people talking about us, even though we were in Europe. You got people in America talking about it. But see, there's my wrestling, my hot takes from the wrestling world. But I had to get to that stuff. And last thing about that is like the A&E. I upset the A&E fans, like our boy Kevin Walsh. These guys, they get like, man, you guys, you A&E fans are real sensitive. But that Dave Meltzer said that the WWE is concerned about A&E's TV deal or something like that. And I posted, I said the WWE is about as concerned with All Elite Wrestling as the Dallas Cowboys are concerned about what the Toronto Argonauts are doing. Like, it's two different worlds. Like, it's like, they don't care. And so, oh, yeah, they do. They tried to block this. Yeah, they tried to block everything. That's what they do. They're a monopoly. So, of course, they try to block other companies. But trust me, like, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon aren't going to bed worried, oh, what's Tony Khan up to? You know? But nevertheless, let's get to some football talk right now. Ian Cameron, Babano in the house. What's up, Babano?
You just reminded me why I haven't watched wrestling in 20 years. How are you, Gabe?
We're doing all right, Babano. And wow. Why is it that you haven't watched in 20 years?
I don't think it's as good as it used to be. I could be totally wrong because I don't watch it, and I'll admit that. I just thought it was starting to go downhill and decline as far as the quality, at least WWE-wise, was concerned about 20 years ago. Because I watched it every day. I watched every Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-view in the late 90s and early 2000s. Rock and Stone Cold, Steve Austin, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, DX, all that. And I thought it was really good. The Vince Stone Cold feud, which I know was just everybody ate that up. I just felt it lost a little bit of its edge. And I got older and lost I just fell edge. Out of love with it.
But I think, you know what, though? I think it's like, I don't think it's any different. Somebody had a good tweet yesterday about it because somebody said the same thing. They said, today's WWE is just so fake. It's so unbelievable. And somebody posted a picture of Goldust and The Undertaker in the ring from like 20 years ago. And somebody said, oh, because it's really believable. Like, oh, that's so real. Right? Like, and it was Mankind too, Cam, with his sock. Like, grown man with a sock. Like, you know what I mean?
Exactly, McFoley.
And I love that era too, but like,
Mankind,
it's all the same. It's all the same. Like, you know what I mean? It was stupid then. It's stupid now. It's just,
I loved Goldust's intro music. Music for Goldust.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, to you, Stone Cold Steve Austin, yeah, whatever. Today, people like John Cena now, or Cody Rhodes. So, like, Cody Rhodes, the new star, like, it's just sort of slick, cyclical.
The only difference, Gabe, less foreign objects, less managers, yes. And less blood. Is, Cam, that's the difference.
It's just more money. They're like a band. Yes. More commercial.
Yes.
Right? It's just like, listen,
yes,
we're not going to bleed because we've got six-year-old kids and we're selling action figures. So let's
does
not
Raven
do that, like,
come in with a Star of David slack to him? No. Does Mick Foley roll in tax? Do you jump through glass? Does Kabuki blow dust in your eyes? See, that's what made wrestling crazy. But now it's more, you said it, it's an unstoppable money machine.
It's super athletic now, the WWE. Yes. Like, they are freak athletes. Like, but it's not really, it's not really a wrestling match. It's sort of like a sequence of a bunch of moves.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like hockey, football, all the other sports. I mean, speed and athleticism has gotten stronger over the years, and the bigger, athletes and, slower athletes, not so much.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you were talking about an era of a banner, and I even liked the era before that, where they weren't good athletes, and I knew it. Yeah. Like, they weren't even in shape.
Like, Terry Gordy was a fat slob, Gabe, who went around.
Well, you can't tell me the Iron Sheik wasn't in great shape. Athlete. Yeah.
King Kong Bundy. Yeah. Well, the Iron Sheik was an Olympian, Babano. He's
Abdullah the Butcher, all those guys. Like,
King Kong Bundy.
They weren't. They were just sort of badass wrestlers. Now they're doing triple flips and this and that and crazy ass stuff. So it's different. But if you want, for the record, though,
Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero really started to get that kind of vibe going with wrestling and the maneuvers they were able to, high flying stuff. Yeah.
The All Elite, though, that All Elite wrestling is much more aggressive than the WWE. And it's funny because, like, some people think it's too aggressive, too crazy. For me, I don't know. Like, the thing with the All Elite is you watch it, it's kind of boring, like, in which there's just talk, talk, talk. It's always talk, 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 talk. And not enough craziness. But I know when they do things, like, you know what I mean? Like, All Elite. Like, Buddy tried to throw someone in front of a train the other day, like a live train in Chicago. And he wasn't going to do it, but it looked good. Like, it was close. Like, there's a dude. What's his name? There's a dude in All Elite. Like, people are concerned for him. I love Darby. What's his name? Darby. The guy with his face painted. He's like a young Sting. He's got his face painted, this kid. But this kid will, he'll do anything. Like, they were in an arena. Like, he got thrown down a flight of stairs in the arena for real. Like, he told him, yeah, just throw me down the stairs. Like Jim Cornette has pleaded with the kid to stop. They're like, you're going to kill yourself, kid. Like, you're too hardcore. And people are, like, desensitized to it now. So a couple of weeks ago, they were in Chicago and they were fighting, like, near, like, the subway train. Like, that's but so it was cool. Real. Like, and they tried to, like, drop him onto the train tracks. And it scares people. But I like that stuff. That's the stuff I like. If it was 2 hours of that, I'd watch it all. But I just prefer to not to watch a show and see the clips.
One final wrestling note I want to mention, Gabe, because this is still one of the memories that just, for some reason, it sticks in my mind. And it was, I think, one of the greatest wrestling pay-per-views I saw watching it all the time as I did was WrestleMania X7. I believe it was in Houston, Texas. And I still remember that, and the moment and the pop it got in the building when it happened, where a near non-responsive Linda McMahon rises from her wheelchair and nails Vince McMahon right in the nuts. I don't know. That just sticks with me all these years. And it was, the crowd went bonkers over it.
Yeah, now she's the Secretary of Education.
I know. Scary.
How about that? What a world.
We've come.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, okay, of all people, better off with Vince. You know, actually, I always thought Vince would be a better president than Trump, to be honest with you. Like, Vince was like Trump before Trump. Like, mm-hmm. It's almost like Trump, like, models Vince. Well, I'll never forget the story when Vince blew up in the limousine. And Triple H told a story about how Trump called the WWE to offer condolences, because he goes, I saw that Vince blew up in a limousine last night, and they had to tell Trump, no, he didn't blow up in a limousine, sir. That it was fake. Like, yeah. He got out the other side, and
it's
he wasn't
unreal.
In the car. Like,
it's unreal.
No, it's a true story. It's a true story.
I believe it.
It's just amazing. But who, like,
Triple
that's
H told the story.
This is the president. Like,
yeah, he's the president, and Linda McMahon is the education chief.
What?
So, like, this is what we're... Well, let's get to the football.
But yeah, let's go, yeah.
That story has just always been the best to me, that he actually called and said, yeah, I want to offer my condolences to Vince. I saw he died in a limousine explosion. And they told him, no, that was on TV. Like, he didn't die in a limousine explosion.
That's crazy, man.
So, like I said, everything is fake. Everything is a work. All right, so Thursday night football, that's real. This is not a work, although hopefully there's not a bad call that turns into wrestling debacle along the way. Hey, last week we had not a bad call, but our first real bad beat of the season. Overbetters of Kansas State and Iowa State. The game opens up big time in the fourth quarter. Kid on Iowa State, I thought he crossed the line. Like, that was just so dumb. Like, why are we even doing this? Just give him the damn touchdown. But nevertheless, they didn't give him the touchdown, and we're literally millimeters short of a 5-0 sweep in that football game. But
weird
we got an early game
because at 7-7 at halftime, you think we have no business cashing an over in this game, and yet with the way it ended, you feel, geez, we got robbed of cashing it.
Yeah, you know, though, I always felt, Pabano, that it was gonna open up. Like, I was like, because it was one of those weird deals.
Yeah.
There should have been more points. Both teams turned the ball over in the red zone. They, you know what I mean? They missed the field goal. They were leaving a lot of, like, they were moving the ball, but then they just weren't scoring. But yeah, I didn't think, you know, getting a 50, like 51, but man, yeah, it would have been like a beautiful win, like just backdoor win, but it is what it is. So the first game up on Thursday, and it's an early game. So I'm happy about that, because let's get this thing going. 5:30 Eastern time. Boise State at South Florida. Boise State are now 5.5-point favorites in this game. The total is 62.5. What are you doing with this game, Abano? What do you think about the Boise South Florida game?
I was thinking I was going to take a good amount of points here with South Florida, but we can only talk about where the number is right now. And, you know, it's moved significantly towards South Florida. And here's the thing. I like the Bulls. I like Alex Golish. I like what he's building. He's going to have his best quarterback, Byron Brown, healthy to start the year. That offense should be really good. And I think they're poised to be maybe a dark horse contender in the American Athletic Conference this year. But there's still that element of USF being able to step up and beat the best teams on their schedule. And now with this point spread being in that, 5.5-6 point range with Boise State here as road favorites, you know, they're going to have to come close to winning this game. You know, if not, they're going to have to play within 3-4 points of this team. And I don't know if they've got the capability from a physical standpoint to do that. I know Boise lost Ashton Gentry, but the O-line still looks solid. Spencer Danielson seems to like the running backs that he has. Maddox Madsen is a very experienced quarterback. And I think now with the number at 6, Gabe, I think Boise has the value now. Now, Boise at Georgia Southern last year started the year like this, a long road trip. And they struggled big time on defense against Georgia Southern. They looked like they got worn down. It looked like, you know, first game of the year, long travel, playing in the heat. It really got to Boise State. And there's no doubt an element of that that concerns me here, playing in Tampa, your very first game of the year, all the way on the West Coast with long travel. So I think the over could get there in this game, and we see points as well.
Cam, what's your pick for Boise State and South Florida?
Usually you guys play more totals than me, but I'm kind of thinking this could turn into a real shootout here. I think USF will be able to score on Boise and vice versa. Gabe, I'm kind of looking at the home team going, maybe they keep it close, but Boise State squeaks out a win. It's a lot tougher of a game than people give it credit for. USF played Alabama tough. They're, you know, they're a program that I kind of agree with Babano there. I think they're a little bit under the radar. I remember back in the day when Levitt was their guy, he put them on the map when they were like a nobody school, but I see positive things from the Bulls. I'm going to probably take the dog, but I like the over. I know it's a lot of points, need a clean ride, as you say, Gabe, but I think we can get there.
Jim Levitt has a lot of problems in his life right now. As you brought up Jim Levitt, and Jim Levitt did do a nice job at South Florida. That mm-hmm. is until he basically, I'm not going to say assaulted a kid, but it was enough that other guys on the team got up and like grabbed him. Levitt lost it years ago, guys, at the half of a South Florida game. Basically, he was freaking out at halftime about the game, and I guess a kid on the team basically talked back to him. Like, Levitt said, and you, what are you doing? And the kid, like, basically told him, this is what I'm doing, coach, F you type thing. Like, they started going back and forth, and he grabbed the player, if you remember. He grabbed the kid aggressively, and other players sort of stood up and said, we're gonna beat your ass, coach. And it turned out that Levitt was grabbing them, and they got rid of him. So that's why when I saw this story that just happened 2 days ago, Jim Levitt, former USF coach, arrested on felony, misdemeanor, and battery and theft charges.
Wow.
He got into it with his girlfriend, allegedly assaulted his girlfriend, and stole her like $5,000. She had like a $5,000 Gucci bag or whatever.
Yeah.
He took it, like, to piss her off.
Wow.
So he got charged with theft, but he also, like, he alleged battered her. And as I stated, I would say, well, we don't know anything about it, but the fact that I just told a story that we know that he attacked a kid in front of everybody, yeah, right, would lead me to believe.
We know there's issues there.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, if I'm on the grand jury, I'd be lead me to believe that this is a believable story. Right, be like, oh no, that couldn't happen. Oh God, no. It'd be like, well, you
he's
know,
got a short fuse.
He did get fired for assaulting a teenager, right? So, I would not be surprised if he did this. So just for the record, yeah, former USF coach Jim Levitt charged with battery theft and alleged altercation.
Can't believe I brought it up, Gabe. I was just saying that guy because I remember that program was nowhere when Levitt took it over. Like, they got real good. They were like winning and winning and winning and winning. But he's always been a little bit, as you know, off.
This guy, his life's just not like from being a big time coach to this. Yeah. He's still in the area too, actually. He got arrested in St. Petersburg, Tampa area. Yeah. He's accused of grabbing a woman by her arm as she tried to walk away from him. Additionally, he's accused of taking the woman's Louis Vuitton purse, clutch, wallet, which was valued over $5,000, which makes it like a grand theft type thing. He's also accused of pushing another man in the chest during the altercation.
Oh, here we go. This guy's just, he's a walking rage ball. Like, Jim, look at his face even. Like, he looks like he can blow up.
And you know, all you need to know about USF, they inducted him. They inducted him into their Athletic Hall of Fame this year. How do you induct someone that you fired for, like, grabbing a kid, number one? And I saw that he was supposed to go. You'll like this, Babano. He was supposed to go to the game this week. Like, there was a thing. Oh, yeah, he's going to be going to the game. Like, you can't go to the game now. You know what I mean? Like,
it's like what the Ticats are doing, the Alumnus of Distinction. They always have one for every game coming back to town. And I guess they had that plan for Levitt.
Well, yeah, you have someone that is assaulting people. It's a little bit different, but
yes,
you're bringing just back a little Hamilton bit. Legend, not back. A guy who takes people out.
Brandon Banks and Jesse Lumsden didn't assault people in their past. Yeah,
that was awesome. Wow, Jim Levitt, you said it from like the penthouse to the outhouse. There, I just mentioned it. I didn't even know he got arrested, Gabe. Just reading the story, crazy.
Yeah, it's, there's a lot of these college, just a few of these college coaches that sort of got pushed out for being old school.
Yeah.
But at least they just go about their life. Like this guy, it's like, bro, you're 66. You're getting arrested for pushing dudes and grabbing purses. Like, what are you doing? What is this? Like, you snooky on the Jersey Shore? Like, you're a 66-year-old man. Like, you know what I mean? You got to grow up at some point, coach, here.
So what's like the
you would think?
like USF for Boise State, Gabe.
He's like the situation or something. Yeah, always a situation. Yeah, for me, this game, I kind of agree with Bano. Good take with Bano as far as last year. It is true. They, you know, I don't know. The game turned into a track meet last year to start off the season. Opening games are tough for college, right? They don't play preseason games. It's tough to play on the road, even if you're a good team against a bad team. It's a challenge. And the heat, Babano, was an issue, and they admitted it last year. They said, "Yeah, man, I was freaking hot," right? So
it, that was 56-45 for Boise State last year. 101 points, almost 1,100 total yards of offense in that game as well.
I think it goes over to 62.5 here as well, guys. I think the total is the play. Listen, I got Boise State at +190 to make the playoffs. So they need to win this game. They're gonna make the playoffs. So I got them to make the playoffs. Boise +190. I think they will win the game. I said it earlier in the week. I kind of think it's like, you know, 35-31 or something like that. Like it goes over. They don't kill them, but they win. Like you, and it's a tricky number, Babano. Like they could win by six. Like if Boise won this game, Babano, 40-34, it wouldn't surprise me. You know what I mean? Something like that.
Well, that's the thing. Last year they didn't cover against Georgia Southern, but they were double digit favorites and they still won by 11, right?
Yeah, they don't care about covering. They want to make the playoffs. It's about winning for them, right? Yeah. Like they win this game, they run the table in the Mountain West, and they can lose to Notre Dame and they go to the playoffs, right? It's just like the path is there for them. And I do agree with Babano too. I hate when people, oh, they lost Ash and Genty, they're not gonna be this. Boise State were Boise State long before Ash and Genty got there, guys. Ash and Genty put up big numbers for them, right? They win with her, like, they won games.
And he was great, Gabe, but let's be real. That was a great run-blocking offensive line that he had as well.
Yeah,
and I think
they gave them, if they gave the kids that are there now the ball as much as they gave to Genty, the kid will rush for 14 or 15.
Boise State had running backs, Gabe, but Ian Johnson, remember proposing in the game? That's way back in the day they've been doing this for.
They have stepping up. He averaged 7.8 yards a clip last year when he touched the ball. Like. And you got an experienced quarterback now, and you got your two wide receivers back. Their offensive line is four of their five offensive linemen are about like they're going to be just fine, like Boise. And it doesn't mean, like I said, they don't roll, but I love that +190, guys, to make the playoffs for people tuning in because their schedule, the Mountain West, is not a very good conference. And Boise have the respect from the voters, and they're going to play Notre Dame too at midseason. And I tell you what, I think Boise State could go into South Bend and beat them, actually. Like, to me, that game's a toss-up. All right, so we got Lafayette Bowl. We won't hit them all, but bad. We'll just sort of isolate a game that you like. The other ones are cam legs. But Lafayette Bowling Green, Ohio Rutgers. Rutgers is another one, guys. We like the season win total over 5.5. They just need to get to 6. They've won 14 games in the last 2 years, seven games. Shiano's good enough to get this Rutgers team to a bowl game. They open up with Ohio. They're laying 15.5. East Carolina, NC State, 14. UCF, Central Florida, lay 20.5 to Jacksonville State. Wyoming, 5.5-point road favorites at Akron. My Missouri Tigers, who I'm super high on. So if you like their win total, like I love it, guys. They play tomorrow. They kick off. They're laying 36.5 to Central Arkansas. Buffalo, Minnesota, intriguing game, up to 17.5 right now. And, you know, the game of the night is on a neutral field at Arrowhead, Nebraska and Cincinnati. Nebraska, 6.5-point favorites over the Bearcats, total 51.5. What games do you like on Thursday, Babano?
I like over in East Carolina, NC State. I think there's going to be pace in that game. I don't trust either defense. I think NC State's defense, which kind of took a hit last year, they've got some shuffling going on. And I think both quarterbacks, look at the way Caden Hauser played for East Carolina when he got the starting job. They started to play fast as well. And then C.J. Bailey on the other side for NC State, you know, I thought he got better as the season went on, and he'll be ready to attack, I think, an ECU defense that still, as we saw last year, can give up points. And so I like over in that game. You mentioned Nebraska-Cincinnati. They like Dylan Raiola and Dana Holgorsen now as the offensive coordinator there. I expect good things from this Nebraska offense. Nebraska defense solid last year, but there's a lot of returning production lost, not returning to that defense. So the Nebraska offense actually could be better, and maybe the defense takes a step back. Cincinnati still got issues on D. That could be an over there. And Nebraska's going to play a little bit more tempo this year, as usually is the case with a Dana Holgorsen offensive coordinated football team. So that could be an over. And as a big dog, I like Buffalo on Thursday night, getting 17.5, 18 against Minnesota. Minnesota hasn't always been great in these bigger double-digit favorite roles. They're going to look to run the football. They're breaking in a new quarterback and Drake Lindsey. You know, we'll see how that goes. Buffalo, meanwhile, a team that's expected to be pretty solid in the MAC. Taquan Roberson at quarterback. You know, I think their run defense has the potential to be solid because, and again, against a Minnesota team that is going to look to run the football a lot, that may be a solid thing for Buffalo. So I think it's just a few too many points there with the Buffalo side. I'll take the 18 with them.
Yeah, I'm not going to bet it, but I agree with what you're saying. I'm going to try to show discipline. And I say that, and I got so stupid and crazy on the first Saturday last week. But I'm going to show discipline.
I wanted to fade Jacksonville State, too. Like, they are totally rebuilding. But UCF and Scott Frost and Cam Fancher announced as the starting quarterback for UCF. That guy was not very good at Marshall and Florida Atlantic. And laying 20.5 with him is not that appealing to me, even though I really want to fade Jacksonville State.
Like, Minnesota, it's thinking with Minnesota, too. And I know, you know, they got a new quarterback coming in. But people like this Minnesota team this year, probably more than they should. But there's, you know, there's a little bit of a buzz that, yeah, no, they're actually going to be pretty good. And but we know Minnesota are Minnesota. They never change. They are who they are. And
Eastern Michigan covered at Minnesota a couple years ago. I remember that because I bet Eastern Michigan in that game.
Like, Buffalo are good enough to hang around and lose this game by 10 or 12 or something. You know what I mean? And it could be closer. This should be like, if the odds makers, you know, should be like 12.5, 13. Like, all right, it's two touchdowns. Pick your poison. But the market, it keeps bumping this thing up. And it's like, really? You know what I mean? Buffalo can hang around. Like, Minnesota don't play at a high enough tempo, you know, for me to want to lay those type of points. So Friday, we got games. Tarleton State and Army are the first ones up at 6 Eastern. App State, Charlotte, Kennesaw State, Wake Forest, Western Michigan, Michigan State, Western Illinois, Illinois. A couple of high-profile games in prime time. Auburn and Baylor. Looking forward to this one. I put my play in. I already got my bet in on the Baylor Bears over 7.5 wins this year. So I really would really like to get the season started with a win against the Auburn Tigers. Of course, Baylor won their last 6 regular season games last year, and then they lost the 41-34 to bowl game to a good LSU team. Sawyer Robertson is back at quarterback. Their defense is good by, like, Big 12 standards. And they got a stacked offensive line. Their quarterback is very kind of flies under the radar, but Sawyer Robertson is a very good quarterback. There's a lot to like about this Baylor team, but then you got Auburn, right? You got Jackson Arnold, and they feel good. Like, this is a fun game. Baylor are getting 2.5, 58.5. Georgia Tech are now 4.5-point favorites on the road in Boulder against Dion and company. Caden Salter, former Liberty Flame, has been named the starting quarterback in Boulder. A game that I told people about earlier in the week, I thought the number was too high, and it keeps coming down. It was 10.5, now it's 9.5. UNLV on the road against Sam Houston State. This is another one where I could just sort of see UNLV surviving and not winning by 10, and I could see UNLV losing his game outright. And a little nightcap. I like this one, a battle of two schools that we're all fond of. The Central Michigan Chippewas take on the San Jose State Spartans, Cam. How about that?
I love it.
Central Michigan at San Jose State.
It's
friends
like
of the program. Yeah. It's friends,
like
friends of the program.
Exactly. We like those
schools.
Wish
you both the best of luck.
I know, you're right. And two schools that have been great at us from a gambling perspective over the years, too. That's a tough game. That's a very, very tough game. I was going to ask you guys for another, like, dumpster game.
13.5 in that. Yeah. What do you think of that, Abano? Central Michigan getting 13.5. Hey, people are not expecting much from this Chippewa team this year, Abano. But that's sort of one they surprise you. And people are high on this Spartan team this year.
Yeah, you know what? I like San Jose State a lot. I think I lay it or don't play it personally. I've got to see it from Central Michigan. I don't trust their quarterback, Joe Labos. To me, he's been erratic throwing the football. Meanwhile, Walker Eggett takes over at San Jose State.
Central Michigan's offense hasn't been that good the last like, that's the one thing they always had to hang their hat on over the years, from Cooper Rush, Dan LeFever. Like,
yes,
they had quarterbacks. It was like, yeah, listen, we're not great, but we play a spread offense. We're going to score on you, and we're going to be a bitch to play against. Yep. They can't move the ball anymore, Rabano.
No, that's the issue, and San Jose State should be able to score points. And I think San Jose State could have one of the – I don't want to say one of the – for sure, best defenses, but I think they're going to have a better defense than a lot of teams in the Mountain West Conference this year. And I always thought coming into this season that Boise, to me, is probably going to win the Mountain West, but I said if one team's going to give them a scare, it could be San Jose State. Like what Kendi Omotalolo did last year was very impressive, considering what he inherited from San Jose State. And I think they take another step here, and I just think it's going to be tough in the trenches for CMU to hang for four quarters. So San Jose State, this is one favorite I like.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Georgia Tech and Colorado. Interesting game. I like Georgia Tech, but the point spread getting up to 4.5 right now, that's not going to be an easy one. Cam, which degenerate game did you want to bring up?
Gabe, I have a pick for you, and I think you might cut my mic, but I'm actually looking at the University of Tennessee Martin Skyhawks getting 21 against Oklahoma State. I don't trust the Cowboys to cover that number. I know they're from like a really, really weak conference, but to your point, and great call by you, and it was one of my favorite games, like Idaho State, I don't mind taking these schools. And this is a 6-win team. Oklahoma State's one of those teams when they're big, big favorites, I don't trust them to win by more than 3 touchdowns. I'm actually going to take the University of Tennessee Martin getting 21. That's my dumpster special.
I see one here right now. It sort of jumps off the page at me here. I see Maine are getting 25 and a half against Liberty.
Amazing.
Liberty are another one. Like, they're overrated, Liberty. A couple of years ago, they were really good. Now they lose Caden Salter. They lose their quarterback now.
And they took a step back last year with Caden Salter.
That's what I was saying, Bano. Like, their offense really wasn't that good. They were run heavy. That's why I even have my concerns about Caden Salter at Colorado. It's like, you know, to be honest with you, they couldn't even throw the ball last year. Like, their running backs have carried this Liberty team for a couple of years, and it's going to be the same thing. They're going to be running the ball a lot. And Maine are actually good at football. Yeah. It's like they're pretty good, Maine. And it doesn't take much. Like, last week with the Idaho State, no one really wanted to do it. And I told them, it doesn't take much, man. Idaho State were up 10-0 during the game, and we were rocking suddenly. Like, Maine scoring early. Like, I know because I bet Liberty the last 2 years their win total. And I've watched pretty much every one of their games. Like Babano said, it was extremely frustrating last year. They lost to some bad teams last year, Babano. They weren't that good. Like, and Maine are pretty good. Like, no one talks about Maine because they're, you know, they're FCS, whatever. Like, they're pretty good, though, Maine. You know what I mean? Like, they've got a real football program, that team. All right, so let's get to a couple of the big-time games and then the CFL before we wrap things up.
I'm with you on Baylor, by the way, Gabe. I do like Baylor.
Yeah, Baylor, I like Baylor, too. Yeah, freeze a crowd.
I got Baylor, Babano, over 7.5 wins on the season. And not only that, the Big 12 is a wide-open conference, right? I mean, you can make an argument for a lot of teams in this conference. But for me, I'm pulling the trigger with the Baylor Bears to win the Big 12. Like I said, I like the fact that they ended strong last year. They won 6 straight games to end the season. They were dominant in conference play. their schedule isn't easy, but a lot of the games that they have are at home. And when I say their schedule isn't easy, can you imagine, Babano, I brought it up earlier in the week. They open up with Auburn. They go to SMU, and then they go home and play Arizona State. Like, they're like, that's a gauntlet to start the season. Yep. But if they can get through this 2-1, that's good. Right. And maybe if we can get it through at 3-0, they could beat Arizona State. The game is in Waco. They could beat Auburn. The game is in Waco. SMU don't have some sort of crazy home field advantage and whatever. You're going from Waco, Texas to Dallas, Texas. So it's not some like it's, you know what I mean? It's not overwhelming for them. Not like Michigan. They got to go to Oklahoma type of deal. But Big 12 numbers. Who's your pick, Babano, to win the Big 12? Arizona State's plus 550. Texas Tech plus 550 with all their money. The Utah Utes are 6-1. The Baylor Bears are plus 650. Iowa State are plus 750. TCU are plus 800. And K-State already with a conference loss are 10-1. Jayhawks are 11-1. Like I said, like, dude, you can make like Arizona State, Texas Tech, Utah, Baylor, Iowa State. You can make a legit argument for those five teams that they could win this thing.
Yeah, it's I have futures on Arizona State and Utah, but I don't want to give you two. I will say Utah.
Can Kansas win that to the Big 12?
I'm on the Devin Dampier bus this year.
Yeah, Dampier, the quarterback, comes over from New Mexico to Utah. I like Kansas, Cam. I like their win total over 6.5.
I like that team.
But they don't play great defense. Don't be fooled because they beat Fresno State like they did.
That's the thing. Is it Kansas is better than we thought last week, or is Fresno maybe worse than we thought? That's
Daniels is good, but Gabe's right. Yeah. Like, if they have any type of guys, if they can just get off the field, like, they're a good football team. Like, their offense, the way they force some turnovers.
They are who they are. They're like one of these teams. They are who they are. Like, they're going to win 7-8 games. Yep. Like, yeah, 8's a good year, but they're not winning the Big 12, though. Like, they just don't have the same amount of talent all the way through. Arizona State is dangerous again. Like, they really are. But it's, you know, it's not so much that I think Arizona State falter. It's that their schedule is tough. And now you got a target on your back. People know you're good. It changes things. Right? Texas Tech spent $28 million on players. That doesn't always work, but they are a good football team. I kind of buy into the Utahs. Like, if I say Baylor plus 650, but if I had to pick another one, you know, it kind of feels like, you know, Whittingham eventually is going to, you know, break through and have that year that people think. And Cam Rising, number one, wasn't that good. Number two, he was always hurt. It was a distraction to Utah with the quarterback position over the last couple of years. So like Babano said, you bring in Dampier now from New Mexico. This is a step up in class for him, but he's a good quarterback. So I hear where you're going with that, but I'll say Utah at plus 600, Baylor plus 650. And that's one of the reasons, Babano. I think Michigan are going to murder New Mexico. They're 34.5-point favorites, but this isn't like the New Mexico team. They lost their coach. They lost their quarterback. Like, they're completely starting over New Mexico, right? This isn't like the Dampier Lobo team. Their team total is 7.5. Look for Michigan guys to win this game. Like, you know, by 45, 48, 42. I think Michigan will cover that big number. And for the record, the Michigan Wolverines are plus 850 to win the Big Ten. Babano, Bill Belichick's debut on Monday, Labor Day, TCU. Remember, guys, TCU lost to Colorado in Deion Sanders' Colorado debut. So now they get another legendary coach in the first game. What are you doing with the Horned Frog and the Tar Heel game? North Carolina getting 3.5.
I expected to be selling North Carolina, betting against them right away. And I think long term, I still think I will, because I'm not sure it's going to work. But now at 3.5, I actually think I like them now at this number. I think TCU opened the road favorite. Now that's an underdog, I should say. Now they're laying 3.5 on the road. And I just, there's something about it that I just feel that, you know, we're talking about a guy that has known in his NFL career as a head coach. I know this is college, not the NFL now, but we've known him to be great with extra time to prepare. We've known him to be great off a bye week in the NFL. Well,
exactly. But that's when North Carolina will have problems, like in 5 weeks type thing.
Yeah.
Like, when depth starts to catch up to them, and Belichick doesn't know this system, and it's like, the team did things I didn't think they would do. Belichick, like Babana said, Belichick, guys, has had the entire offseason to look at TCU tape. Just one team. You know what I mean? One team. And I guarantee you him and his coaching staff see a lot of things, right? That they're going to say, you know what? We're going to do this to this kid. We're going to do that to this kid, their quarterback. We're going to confuse the hell out of them. You can get away with that for a game and stuff. Like, you can coach, you know what I mean? It's one game. It's like you said, but man, it's like a playoff game. It's like a bowl game. You give these coaches
it's
a
who
month.
Who can get their team better prepared? Who uses the offseason to really scheme and game plan and cook up a successful?
Well, he's going to know. He's going to know how to break down the tape, like, better than anyone. He's going to see every flaw that TCU has. But once the season gets going and he's got a couple of days to prepare for teams and he's playing teams that are better than TCU, it'll catch up. But, you know, I'm not – people want to see Belichick fail, or they think he's going to – it's going to be some big disaster and stuff. It won't be. It's not going to be a disaster, but, look, their win total is 7.5. I think North Carolina wins 7 games. Like, if they win 8 games, that'd be pretty impressive. If they win 9, that's super impressive. I know, and I, you know, Saratella's been there. I've known people that have been around the camp and stuff, that sort of, like, you know, behind the scenes. And Belichick's goal this year, their goal, is to play in a cool bowl game. You know what I mean? Like, their goal isn't 6-6 to make a bowl. They don't think, oh, yeah, we're going to shock the world. And, we're going to win the national championship. But, like, you're like 9-3 of a battle. Like, that's, you know, Belichick wants to play, like, you know, in a New Year's Day bowl game. You know what I'm saying? Like, wants to play in a real bowl game. That's the goal.
Yeah, and I think when you look at it, and this is no.
Got Max Johnson, a quarterback, guys, too, right?
So. Yeah.
Well, is he playing in this game? Because it's supposed to be Gio Lopez. I mean, no, Max Johnson
and,
is.
And Gio Lopez from South Alabama. Yeah. So, yeah, you've got the. Yeah. Who, you know what? He's okay, Gio Lopez, but Belichick loved him. Belichick likes Gio.
He does, and he played great at South Alabama. It's going to be the transition now to playing Power 4 schools and Power 4 defenses every week. That's going to be the test, I guess, for Gio Lopez right now. But, and this is no slam on Sonny Dykes. He's recruited well. They've had some good seasons, but X's and O's, I think. I have to give Bill Belichick the edge for having all off season, you know, to get his team ready to go. And I don't think that's something you can overlook, you know, even though he's doing this college football head coaching thing in a game situation for the first time. So I just got that feeling North Carolina, you know, maybe they lose by a field goal and cover, or they could win. I mean, and I'm, like I said, long-term, I've got my doubts, and let's be honest, TCU has not been known to have a great defense. I like Josh Hoover. I like a lot of what I see for TCU offensively, but boy, oh boy, that defense, you know, is still always the area of that football team that you get concerned about. So now at 3.5, like, this was the no bet for me most of the summer, but I got to admit, at 3.5, I'm going to be betting something on the Tar Heels.
What was the MAC team? You have Kent State, right? Like, what was it? 1.5? Like, what was their win total again with Kent State?
1.5.
1.5. So you must like Merrimack getting 6.5 against Kent State on Saturday.
Sort of, but I'm going to pass on the game.
Okay, cool. I'm just saying.
Kent State could also look at it, Cam. Like, this is our chance to really win a game for sure.
No, but Babano, if Kent State loses to Merrimack, which is very possible at they're only minus 6.5.
They lost to, like, a St. Francis team or something last year, too. Like,
they've lost to FCS teams.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, they're capable of losing. Like, they're bad. Anybody. Like, they could be the worst team. Like, they are expected to be one of the worst teams. All right, so yeah, that Monday night game, guys. And we're going to be on live. I'm going to be on live Monday night during that game. TCU and North Carolina, Monday night Labor Day. I'll be laboring on Labor Day. Sunday, we got 2 games, which is pretty cool. Virginia Tech and South Carolina, that's 3 o'clock Eastern. Gamecocks lay 7.5. One of those games where I think South Carolina win. They probably cover, but I'm not in love with the number. But I think they win the game. They're minus 300. And then Sunday night, you got Notre Dame and Miami, 7:30 Eastern time. So Sunday is going to be cool. I love it. Football's back. It's going to be every day. And we got the CFL on Monday that we'll wrap up with. But Virginia Tech, South Carolina, what's your pick, Babano, Miami, Notre Dame? What do you like on the Sunday games?
Virginia Tech plus the points is kind of where I don't love it, but I'm leaning that way at 7.5 because Virginia Tech usually catching points has been good. Now they don't win close games. I mean, everybody knows this team's, it's been pretty well publicized out there how bad they've been in close games. But again, they just have to stay within one score here. And when it comes to South Carolina, like Sellers, I don't know if the defense is nearly going to be as stout as we saw a year ago. So I could see that one being close. And I have to like Notre Dame at less than a field goal against Miami. I know they're breaking in a new QB and CJ Carr. And there's some O-line concerns. But I am not going to ask Mario Cristobal to use all offseason out-coach and out-prepare Marcus Freeman in a battle of wits. I'm just not going to ask him to do that. So I like Notre Dame in that game.
I bet Notre Dame under 10.5 wins on the season. So I hope Miami knock him off.
And I need to see it from Carson Beck. Let's see how he does. There's still questions. What are we going to see from him now with this new change of scenery and this next opportunity?
I think Carson Beck will be fine. I think they're off. I think he'll be fine, but I do agree with the Cristobal stuff. It's hard to trust him. Notre Dame, like, I don't know. What are you going to get from CJ Carr? We don't know that either. We know Notre Dame have a good ground game. In a pick'em game, it's tough to trust Cristobal in this spot. I totally get that. But I hope they lose, personally. And Notre Dame have Texas A&M in week two as well. That's not, like, Notre Dame's schedule is not fun this year. That's why I do believe that they will lose at least two games along the way. All right, so Sunday Night Football, as I talked about, actually, you know, right, playing at the same time, but 7 o'clock Eastern, not 7:30, but... So Sunday night, we're going to have a couple of games on TV, which will be a lot of fun. Notre Dame and Miami and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the Rough Riders. Rough Riders lay 5.5, totals 51.5. Hamilton Tiger Cats, Babano, you'll be at the game. The Labor Day Classic, 2:30 Eastern time, the Tiger Cats. Point spread's coming down, actually. It was higher earlier in the week. I see 4.5 right now. 56.5 is the total. And point spread's going up, Cam, in the other one. Despite the fact, I like the Elks. And last night there were like 6.5s out there. I see 7.5 now with the Edmonton Elks. What are your picks, Babana, for the CFL, the three games this week?
So Saskatchewan got blown out by Calgary. It was a big game. I know it's not going to sit well with them, and they're certainly in bounce back mode. But, you know, it's not easy to lay points like this against Winnipeg. You know, this is, I think, most of their point spread covers. I'm trying to see. I think they're 2-0 against the spread as a dog this year. And I remember they covered as a dog 1-point loss at Calgary. So I feel like it might be a few too many points for Saskatchewan, even though they're going to be in an angry mood after losing to Calgary. So I like Winnipeg there a little bit, plus the points. I like the over in Toronto-Hamilton. I mean, it seems like it's the highest total on the board, but I don't know who's stopping who. You know, I know Hamilton's got the bye week to shore up the defense, which didn't play well the last few games before the bye, but Arbuckle keeps slinging it. And I think the product of Toronto getting the money is people bet what they saw last, and what they saw was 52 points against that miserable BC defense last week, and Nick Arbuckle putting up a ton of points, and the offense couldn't be stopped. So I think that explains some of the Toronto money, but I'm probably going to stick more than anything to the over. Be careful liking Toronto, everyone out there, because Hamilton has won every game head-to-head yep. against Toronto since the beginning of last year. Milanovic has beaten Dinwiddie in every meeting, and I'm with you, Gabe, on Edmonton. They have covered every single point spread, the Edmonton Elks, since Cody Fajardo has been the starting quarterback. And Calgary, we saw them as a favorite of a touchdown against Montreal recently at home. They lost that game outright. I like Calgary a lot, but now I think we're asking them here in this spot to lay just a few too many points for my liking.
Should be some fun football games this weekend in all the leagues. Football is back, and next week we've got the NFL, so... Well, Babano joins us next Wednesday. We'll be talking NFL picks. NFL starts in 8 days. Thursday night football, Cowboys, Eagles. And then Friday night football, we've got the Chiefs and the Chargers. And, of course, the big news with the Kansas City Chiefs is that Travis Kelce is getting married to Taylor Swift. Which, you know what, I wish them the best. And I hope that they... I hope that they start planning their very elaborate wedding, and I hope it becomes a lot of drama for them throughout the football season. And I hope that Travis Kelce has a crap-ass year with the Kansas City Chiefs. I wish him the best in his marriage. But all kidding aside, If I'm the Chiefs, I'm like, dude, like, really? You just couldn't get married? Like, you're retiring after this year anyways. Just, like, get married after the year. Like, and why do you have to announce this the week before we start our season? It's just that it's a distraction.
Yeah.
And it's funny because Travis Kelce admitted that he was distracted last year. So I don't see how the hell he won't be distracted now. Like, you're marrying one of the biggest celebrities in the world. Like, you're known more for this, but he's a pro, and I got no beef with Kelce. I think he's a cool dude and stuff. I'm just sick of the Kansas City Chiefs as a Buffalo Bill fan. But we'll hit back next week. Thanks to Cam. Thanks to you, Cameron. Thanks to you for tuning into the podcast. Remember to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. You can get updated when we drop it. Weekday afternoons on a Nacker on the